So we're on the bottom of Memtesman Biz. We didn't quite make it over yet. It's eight lines from the bottom, the two dots. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah that said, when going back to, let's say you had some chametz left in your house, you're going to do a mitzvah or something else, what was the shear and one has to return to burn the chametz? And also, what was the shear if someone had to kachim, he left the walls of Yishalayim, does he have to return back? How much? It's not just for anything, not just any amount of chametz, not any amount of basar, of kachim, has to be a certain shear. So the Mishnah presented a machlokis, Rabbi Meir held that it was with a kabeitza. If kachim or chametz is kabeitza, you return back, or Behuda says a kazayas for each of them. And the chametz was mechali, chacham said kachim is kazayas, and chametz is kabeitza. So the Gemara is going to explain what is the machlokis. It says the Gemara, "Lemeimra the Rebbe Meir savar kabeitzahu dechashiv." That is to say, our Mishnah tells us Rebbe Meir holds the shear as kabeitzah, and Rebbe Yehuda savar kizayis nami chashiv. And Rebbe Yehuda, on the other hand, thinks kizayis is considered something that's chashiv or chashiv a shear. We're many. We have the opposite to be true. Ad kama hain mizamnin. What's the shear that you can mizamnin? You can have three people who are eating bread together, and you have make a zimun. What's the shear of bread that they have to eat? Ad kizayis, that's the first opinion, which would be the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Stam Mishnah's Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda Omer ad kibetza. So Rebbe Yehuda says the shear of bread you have to eat is kibetza. While here in the Mishnah Pesachim says it's a kizayis Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Meir the other way around. So it seems to be a stira. So Rebbe Yochanan muchlefes hashita. No, switch them around. One of them is mistaken, and we're probably going to switch the one in Brachos because Brachos is only a brisa. We usually try to maintain the Mishnah, so we'll probably switch the brisa in Brachos. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. However, Abai Amar Liolam Lo Tipach, don't flip it around. And Hasam Bekar Pligi Hacha Besvar Pligi. They're arguing over here, rather over there first, in the Gemara and Brachos, they're arguing about how to understand the Pasuk. Here in Pesachim, they're arguing about how to understand the Svar. Two different debates. One had nothing to do with the other. Hasam Bekra, regarding Brachos, benching the Pasuk Pli, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Meir Savar, Vechalta, Pasuk says Vechalta Vesvata Virachta, as we know. Vechalta Zu Achil, that means eating. V'savata zushasi, that means drinking. V'achila, b'kazayis, in general, as we saw a number of times in Pesachim already, achila means eating a kazayis. That's right, Meir's svar, our source at least. V'yehuda savar v'achalta v'savata, you have to read them together. Achila sheyesh ba sviya, eating that has a certain amount of satisfaction, that you're feeling full. That's a little bit more than kazayis, v'ezezu b'kabeta. So a definition of achila is kezayis, a definition of achila that has sviya, that's kibetza, that's machlokas. Again, do you read visavata as part of achalta? Is it qualifying of achalta? Or is visavata something separate?
But it's still talking about benching, about. So what is it saying, that even if you ate the kezayit of bread and you ate something else that makes it a beitza, then you have to bench? Or what are they trying to say?
Well, let's talk about just, let's say bread. It's bread that have a kibetza, all bread of kibetza, let's say for now. Yeah, bread of that shear.
No, but if you're talking, like they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about how much you have to eat to bench.
Right, how much bread do you have to eat?
Yeah.
So the savata, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, the savata is defining v'achalta.
No, but one is a svara, and I assume that. So what? So in one, because a svara they hold one way, and here they hold a different way.
No, in regards to benching, they both agree it's about how to learn the pasuk. When the pasuk says v'chalta v'savata, is v'savata coming to qualify, or is v'savata something out? You're supposed to eat, and v'savata, and you're supposed to drink. Is that how you read the pasuk? The pasuk means you're supposed to eat, and you're supposed to eat to the point where you're really satisfied.
Yeah, but they're still switched around.
No, we haven't explained yet about Mishnah Pesachim. Uh-huh. That we haven't explained yet. That's the very next few words. However, Hacha, in regards to the Mishnah Pesachim, in terms of burning chametz, Bisvara Pligi. They're arguing about logic, nothing to do with the Pasuk. There's no source in the Torah for this one. The Rabbi Meir Savar Chazarta Kitumasa. So, you have to return just like the Tuma, meaning, Ma Tuma Kibetza, just like the Shirna for a Basar Kachim is going to become Tame Kibetza, Av Chazarasa Kibetza. So too, when you have to make you go back to burn the Kachim, it has to be a Shir of a Kibetza. Behuda savar chazarta ki isura. There's an isser. Rashi explains the top line on nun of an aleph ki isura shel chametz ubaser kodesh nami mishin nifsal biyote aser b'achila. So chametz, the isser of chametz is when you have a kazayas, we know, and when the baser kodesh of kachim, when it leaves the chomos yushalayim, it becomes pasul and you can't eat it when there's a shear of a kazayas. So ma isur, the Gemara says ma isuro b'kazayas. Af chazaraso b'kazayas. So too, just like the iser, you're over the iser when there's a shir kazayas, so too, the requirement to go back is a shir kazayas. So Rabbi Meir goes based on the what makes something tame, kibbeitz is the shear of tumah, and Rabbi Huda goes based on iser. They want to know which one to compare to. I'm not sure why one would choose over the other, but that's machlokis in terms of this case in Pesachim. And then the Gemara has one more line on this topic. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, zeh v'zeh kishtei beitzim v'lo hodu l'chachamim. Rabbi Nosson says the requirement to go back to burn chametz, the requirement to go back and burn kachim, is two kibbeitzim, which is not how we paskin, and the chachamim do not agree to that. So regarding the question of the shirn benching, there's a small tosos here. It's really a discussion of brachas, but we'll read quickly this small tosos. Not so small, but regarding the shear of kezayis and kibbeitza. It says tosos v'chalta zu'achila. Near the honey shiure kezayis kibbeitza de lo havi el esmachta. These shiurim that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda are arguing about is only an esmachta. The chayin perisher kunshus beperk mishamezu gavi haldamar ben mevarach la'aviv. The Gemara there says a son who's a katan can bench for his father. Umoki lo, the Gemara says, is talking about a case of kigon de achel b'ha'av shir derbanan, where they only ate a shir derbanan, since the katan has a chiv derbanan and the father only ate a shir of a derbanan. So one can be motzi, both in the same level, he can be motzi his father. What's the shir derbanan? Hainu kizayis ukebeitza. Dimidereisa be'inan svia gemura. Dereisa to be chayv, the Pasuk says, v'chalta v'sabata, until you're really, really full. A shir of kizayis and shir kebeitza is not really so full, like the Pasuk says, it's just a smachta derbanan. So if they only ate that amount, they're chayv to bench on a derbanan level and the same level as a katam. Only if they went over the level of being really full, then the father becomes a deraisa chiv. Then, without going on further, the Tosafot brings another Gemara, which seems to indicate the shear is actually a deraisa. So it's a machlokes rishonim whether the shear kibbeitz and kezayis is a derbanan or deraisa.
There's a shitas reim that holds, I think, based on Rabbi Meir, that in order to bench with deraisa, you have to drink something. Also.
I think it's a Mordechai. Maybe Mordechai. I think so. Because Mordechai is quoting the reim even. But yeah, does Mordechai have to drink something? The Ramah brings this down lalacha. That is advisable that one should drink. So if someone is thirsty and they don't drink, they really strongly advise, if you're not thirsty, you don't have to. But if you are thirsty, one shouldn't bench until they've drank a little something.
Meshech Chachma says by Avram Avinu when he invited the Malachim in, that he said, come and eat something, and then the Pasuk says, V'achar Tavoru, and then after you should leave. So he says it's a remez to this sheet, this Urayim, or Mordechai, but he says that because only eat something, don't drink anything, and then you could leave immediately without having to bench.
Right, yeah. But that goes against the Medrash, which says that he fed them Basar Chalav because he thought they were non-Jews. So once they were non-Jews, then they wouldn't have any chiv to bench.
He ended up drinking something, but I'm saying when he invited them in, he said, come and eat something, then you can immediately leave.
Then he realized that they were malach.
Yeah.
Okay. Says the Gemara now, top of Nunam and Af, three lines down, V'haya b'yomahu lo ye or yikaros v'kifon. That day, that very day, there will not be this light of yikaro, something that's very special, v'kafon. So my yikaros v'kafon, what do these words actually mean? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, ze or she yakar b'olam hazeh, the light that is very precious in this world, v'kafo yilolam haba. And it becomes, Rashi says kafo, he defines it as... Did that go? Which the Rashi or she yakar b'olam hazeh kishechama, the sun meira b'guraso v'oragado, and the strength in this world during the daytime is very powerful. Also, or that light of the sun chashiv v'yakar shela ye kafoy v'kal yom haba will be how do they define kafoy in the Arshkol Matra? Very light, become very light. It will become very meaningless.
Be trivial.
Trivial, okay. So that's what it means. So this sun, although it's very special and precious in this world, Olam Haba will be nothing. So unclear what that really means for us. So Rabbi Nachman puts it in different terms, we could relate to a little bit better. He says it's a reference to Talmud Torah. So the or in this world is, where does it go here? See, Rashi, Rabbi Nachman, Mipnei Zeh Pesach, V'haya b'yomahu lo ye or yikaros v'kafon. Perish Rabbi Elazar or shu yakar b'olam hazeh. The light is very precious in this world. Kulo k'dichsiv kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Torah is the light. V'ksiv, he quotes a pasuk in Shmuel, davar Hashem v'haya yakar b'yomah mayim. Kafay hu batzul liyom haba v'chol davar matzul b'yad harabim bazul hu. But in the Olam Haba, everyone's going to have access to the Torah. So now it's precious in this world because
it's
only a few have access to it.
Right, that's what the Marsha says also.
Uh-huh.
The Marsha says that it's right now it's so hard, it's very hard, difficult to learn, so it's very precious, but in the Olam Haba, everybody will understand it. So.
Right. But it sounds like it's a negative twist on it. I mean, because everyone understands it and because it's so accessible, it becomes almost diluted. So I don't imagine that's what the Gemara means here. But it's more accessible, whatever that means, in the world to come.
Right, so it's saying that there's not going to be schar olam haba.
Won't be schar. What do you mean?
Meaning olam haba, it's going to be there. When something is easy, you don't get schar. I mean, it's
but well, yeah, I don't think you get right. Olam haba itself is the schar.
Yeah, but I'm saying right. So I'm saying right.
But the Mesias Shalom says that's the whole point of this world, is to get to Olam Haba, which is the goal.
Prozdor.
Right. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan gives another interpretation of this pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elu Negom Ve'Oalos, Sheyakarim Hein Bom Haza, Negoim and Taras, and the Din of Oalos, are very chashuv in this world, Ve'Kafuyin Hein Lom Haba, but they're not so chashuv in the world to come, which I think means to say the same idea, that they're very, not precious in the gum, are not something people really want, but they're very rare in this world. In the world to come, it's going to be very common. Whatever, I'm not really sure what to take from that. Rishu ben Levi Amar, Elu b'nei Adam, Sheikarim heim b'olam hazev, k'forin heim l'olam haba. It's the people. The people are chashuv in this world, which Rashi says, Ashirim v'chashuvim v'einam tovim l'makum. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't really appreciate it, doesn't think much of them. But in this world, they're very chashuv. In the world to come, it will be the opposite. Kihadr of Yosef, great of Yeshub and Levi, his son, Rav Yosef, Chalish, he got very sick, Vyasnagid, then he got healthy. Rashi says he died and then came back to life. Rabbeinu Chananel said he got very sick. Either way, something happened while he was in that state of Chalishus. Kihadar, when he got better, Amrlei Avua, my Chazis, his father, Yeshub and Levi, says to him, what did you see when you were, you know, whatever state he was in? Amrlei Olam Hafachri, I saw an opposite, everything was upside down, backwards. El Yonim Lamate Vatachton Lamala. The upward people on top were on the bottom, the people on the bottom were on top. So Amar Lo Bani Olam Barari. So you saw very clear the true emistical world. Ivanan Hecha Hasam. So he said, well, where are we standing in the world to come? Ki Hecha the Isa Anan Hacha Hacha Asin Hasam. The way we are now here in this world is the way we are in the world above. So Vishamati Shayu Omim. I heard them saying the following. Praiseworthy though that person who comes here and has the Talmud in his hands. Vishamati. So what does that mean exactly? So Rashi says, I thought there's a Rashi here. No Rashi?
Marsha.
Sorry, Rashi. Okay, so Rabbeinu Chananel, Marsha. Also, Rabbeinu Chananel then. Says, I thought there's also Rashi, but I guess Rabbeinu Chananel says two perushim. One, he says, Yesh Misha Omer She Goris Al Peh. Ki halach v'girsasu imo. Person who knows, call it our kula balpe. That makes this in a very difficult situation. The Yesh Mishomer, Rabbeinu Chananel gives another parish. Mishi yavo bekan umaisav miyastim v'tamudo shekayim komashalomer v'nimsa kilu hevi rayosav imo. Where he learns, and also he has all the actions, he does all the maisim tovim based on what he learns, so that solidifies, that is his proof. You see, I did everything correct, that's his proof that he learned. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat. The Marsha writes that his person's ksivas yad, the person's notes that he writes, ksivas yad, he says, is the ikr talmud Torah, he says, for each individual, his notes, his chidushim that he writes up. That's why it's referred to sometimes, the chacham are referred to as sofrim. Why are they called sofrim? They're not, most talmud chacham are not sofrim. They can't write a sefer Torah, mezuzah, tefillin. He says, because ksivas yad, they're sofrim, they're writing their notes, they write a chidushay Torah. That's the ikr, that's what it means, come here with your talmud. And the Baal Tanya writes that, no, what it means is that when a person learns Torah Lishma, it's Olin, the Torah goes automatically up the El Yom above. That's what it means, is Talmud B'yado. It means the way, the manner in which he learns his Torah, and the many other Perushim brought how to interpret this line. Then he goes on to say, Rabbi Shubin Levi, son of Yosef, says, Ushamati, I heard also, up in the world above, Shehayu Omer, they would say, Haruge Malchus Ein Adam Yochol Lamor B'chitasan. The people who were killed by the kings, by the were not, by the government, were not, no one was able to stand in their, within their walls. They were so precious, you can't even come close to them. Umanin, who are these individuals? Ilema Rabbi Kiva V'chaverov, Mishum Haruge Malchus, only because Haruge Malchus, that's the only reason why they deserve such a chashuv a place in Olam Haba. Vesulo, nothing more? No, it couldn't be them. Of course, they had plenty of other zichuyos that put them in the world of their own. El Haruge Lud. Haruge Lud, which Rashi says, Shnei Achim Hayu, Shemasim Atzman, two brothers who gave themselves over Al Yisrael to save Ka Yisrael. Shehodu Al Atzman Harigas Basmelch. They admitted to killing the daughter of the king, the princess. Shahu Matilin also Al Kol Yisrael. And they saved the rest of Ka Yisrael for that matter. So there's another opinion what exactly this refers to, but this is someone who gave up, the two people who gave up their lives to save Klai Yisrael, they had a special place in Olam Haba. So that's what he witnessed in the El Yonah.
Those are the ones who they were making a Avodah Zarah, and they got up and they killed, right? There was a story like that. And Lud.
I don't remember. I think it's Gemara in Baba Basra. Yeah, it makes sense to you?
Yeah.
I see here, Masora Shas is actually Gemara in Tainus, Yud Ches Amud Beis.
Somewhere we learned it.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Bayom Ahu, on that day, he had Al Mitzlos Hasus Kodesh Lashem. So, what does this mean? My mitzlos, or mitzilos, hasus. So on that day, whatever mitzilos hasus, that's going to be kodesh. What is that in reference to? Amar Yishuv ben Levi, Osti Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lahosif Al Yushlaim, Ad Shehasus Ratu Matya. In the future, B'yom Ahu, Yushlaim is going to be expanded to the point that a horse, however a horse is able to run as far as he can and save someone. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? What's that shir Ad Shehasus Ratu Matya? Kishir merutas hasus ad chatzi yom. The amount of time it takes, the amount of this, I guess, the distance a horse could go in half a day. V'loshin matzil shatzilu tachtov shekol shalos hayom chama. So it's a reference to the shade. The way the shade goes, so that's what mitzilos, where the shade is not this way or that way. It's the midday, noon, where it's on top of the world and there's no real shade anywhere. Everything's being covered by the sun. That's why mitzilos means half a day. How much a sus could run half a day? To reference to Kodesh Hashem, the expansion of Yerushalayim. Amar Bishua, we did that one already. Rabbi Elazar, Amar kol mitzilos shetolin l'sus bein einav ye Kodesh Hashem. Or all the bells that were hanging between the eyes of the horse, that will become hektish. So I'm not sure, you know, exactly what to make of that either. But Rashi says, Yekodesh Hashem, she is not vu Yisrael nidvosein lemikdash. You're going to make these dedications, they're going to donate these bells that apparently were hanging between the eyes of the horses to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yochanan gives a third shot, Amar kol biza shebozen in Yisrael, all the booty that they're going to collect from all the spoils from war that Klal Yisrael is going to connect, ad shasha susratu matzil, Yehiyeh Kodesh Hashem. All the things they're going to collect, all the spoils of war they're going to connect, the distance of where a horse could run, all that's going to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. That's how to understand this pasuk. So Bishma L'man Damar called Biza Shebazu Yisrael. I understand according to the one who says it's collecting all the spoils from war. Hainu Dichsev Ayah HaSiros B'Veis Hashem Kim Mizrikim L'Fnei HaMizbech. That makes sense, because all that which you're going to remove, that you're moving from all the people around you, you're going to dedicate to the Mizbech. The other two pshatim of this pasuk, my v'haya hesiros beveis Hashem. What's that coming to tell me? What's that? How's the connecting of the pasuk? It says the Gemara milsa achrisa kamar. It's the second thing. Yisrael misadve umaisi. Aside from the first pshat, aside from the fact that Yerushalayim is going to expand, or aside from the fact that they're going to dedicate the bells between the eyes of the horse, there's also going to be riches that they're going to collect and give over to the Beis HaMikdash. So then the Gemara says, Bishlal Mandamar Biza Hayin Dichsiv, if the corner of the Panyan who says it's about spoils, Hainu Dichsiv Veloye Kanani Od Beveis Hashem Tzvakos. That's why it means that there's no more Kanani in the Beis Hashem. Which Rashi says, Kanani is Loyehu Tzrichin Gizborim Lasos Schora Benichse Hektish. You're not going to need anybody to oversee all the Hektish funds. The Fisha Yehesham Osher Gold Amina Biza. They're going to have so many spoils from war, there's no need for anybody to collect. Everyone's going to have so much and give it over to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk means, V'lo Yeh Kanani Od Beveis Hashem. Now, the word Kanani sometimes means, Rashi, the Gemara will tell us in a moment, it means a merchant. We don't need this merchant in particular on top of Kodesh Hashem. El Man Damar Hanach Tarti, the other two Pshatim, why do you need a Kanani? What does that Kanani have anything to do with the first two of Pshatim? So, my V'lo Yeh Kanani, Amr B'Yirmiya Ein Kan Ani means. There's not going to be any ani anymore. There'll be so poverty. Rich. Exactly. So Gemara says, "V'kanani minolin the ikri teger." How do you know that kanani means teger? Kanani means someone who lives in Canaan, not a teger. So dechsiv vayar sham Yehuda bas ish kanani. And Yehuda saw he and ended up marrying the daughter of a kanani man. So my kanani, what does kanani mean? Ilema kanani mama, she really a woman who came from Canaan. Efshar ba Avraham v'hizyas Yitzchak. Avram said to Yitzchak, really said to Eliezer, don't get him a wife from Canaan. Uba Yitzchak v'hizyas Yaakov, and he gave Yaakov the same warning. Yehuda azuv anasav. Yehuda's going to go marry a daughter of a Canaan. It doesn't make sense. So Ella Amar Bishimon ben Lakish bas Gavra Tagra dechsev, must be a daughter of a merchant. Dechsev Canaan biyado mosne mirma. That pasuk seems to support the idea that Canaan doesn't mean a person from Canaan, rather means a merchant. V'bayis ema mehach, another pasuk which seems to support this idea. Asher sochera sarim Canaanah nichbede eret. So there, the pasuk, the word Canaan is a reference to sochera. So it comes out here, the Yehuda was just like Avram warned Yitzchak, and Yitzchak warned Yaakov. Yehuda was also warned not to marry a Kanani. So let's pose a question to a couple of psukim that we find in the Torah. One pasuk is that one of the sons of Shimon married sons whose name was Shaul ben Kanani. Shaul ben Kanani was one of the sons of Shimon. Sounds like, why was he called ben Kanani? He was the ben Shimon. So the implication is that Shimon married a Kananis, and had a son named Shaul. So how could Shimon have done this? Wasn't he warned not to marry Kanani like anybody else? So some say, Eina Hanami, he did, and he did. He violated this. He was the only one of the tribes who violated this Isser. Eina Hanami, he did. Rashi in the Torah says, no, it doesn't mean a Kanani, a real Kanani. It's a reference to Dina, the Rashi brings down. The famous story that Dina, when after Shimon came, Shimon Levi, and they wiped out the entire Shechem, so she was scared no one else is going to marry her. So Dina said, I'm not going to leave this place until you promise to marry me. So she was called, referred to the Kanani, because she was raped by the Kanani, by Shechem, and that's why that she was referred to in that way. The Rashi also brings down the Machlokes about who the Shvatim married. They only had sons who were able to marry. So one opinion says, no, each son was born with a twin sister. So they married different twin sisters, and they all stayed within the family and only married Jews. The other opinion, Rabbi Nechemiah, says, no, they married Kananim. So what this Gemara clearly says that they were not allowed to marry Kananim. So the answer, some say, this Gemara is only a leave with the Rehuda that they married their twin sisters. But according to Rabbi Nechemiah, this Gemara does not go according to Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah, of course, has the right to argue. And the other answer is that no, this Gemara only tells Rabbi Yehuda, only Yehuda didn't marry Kanani, but all the other tribes were able to marry, or did, or perhaps were allowed to marry outside the family.
Rabbi, according to what you're saying now, that it's according to one of the ways of looking at the second, is that the Kanani is actually a merchant. Why can't we just say they just married these businessmen?
That could also be.
It's another option.
Well, no, the point is,
because according to the last part, it says, "Shir Safarad Sari Kananiyot." So his traders were princes, who were merchants in the Kanani, right? They were the lead of the land, so it's not that they married them too.
Right, but Rabbi Nechemiah, when the Medrash says that they married Kananios, they married. So I don't think when Rabbi Nechemiah used the word Kananios, he refers to the merchants.
Yeah, we probably three or four psukim.
Right, no, those are psukim. But if Rabbi Nechemiah was really speaking like regular Hebrew language, he probably would have said the children of versions. If Rabbi Nechemiah used the word Kananis, I think it's probably harder to interpret that to mean merchants. He would have used the more common language.
The Gemara used a quarter of a page saying that he could be mashmir that though.
Right, but that was a pasuk that's based on drushes in the pasuk. I think it'll be a hard reading for Rabbi Nechemiah to say that he, and plus Kananios, it would have been Bite Kanan. Kananios reference to a woman come, I don't think you could interpret it that way. But I hear. Okay, so says the Gemara now. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yamahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. So on that day, Hashem will be the king of the entire world, and his name will be one. So atah ha'idna lav echadu. Only b'yamahu is going to be one, but right now he's not considered one. That doesn't make any sense. Amri b'yacha bar chanina lo k'olm hazeh olm haba. Olm hazeh al b'suros tovos omer baruch ha'tov ha'metiv, v'al b'suros reos omer baruch dayin emes. In this world, only in good news we say baruch ha'tov ha'metiv. On bad news we say baruch dayin emes. However, Le'olam Haba, Kulu HaTov VaMeitiv. Everything will be Kulu HaTov VaMeitiv. Everything, even that which seems bad, is really good, and we'll know that is really good, and we'll be able to say Tov VaMeitiv on everything that happens. Shmo Echad, his name will be one. My Echad, Atu Hayin, Alav Shmo Echad, who? Now his name is not one. Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lo Kolam Hazeh Olam Haba. Ha'olam Hazeh, Nichta B'yud Hei, V'nikur Ba'alf Dalad. It's written one way in this world, and read a different way. Aval, Le'olam Haba, Kul Echad Nikra, Yud-Hei, V'nichta B'yud-Hei. It's going to be written Yud-Hei, it's going to be read Yud-Hei as well. Sava Rava L'Midrash B'Pirkei. He wanted to give such a drasha in public, give the sermon on Shabbos to the public this Chiddush year. Amalei HaHusaba, a certain elderly person says, Li'alem K'siv. It says Li'olam, but it's written La'alem. La'alem means to hide. You're supposed to hide the fact. You're not supposed to reveal this din, of that in the world to come, that's going to be read the way it's written. Rabbi Avina Rami Ksiv has a contradiction of two psukim. Ksiv zeshmi li'alem. It's my le'olam le'alem. This is my name le'alem, which is hidden. Vezezrich li'dor v'dor. This is my name, my remembrance from generation to generation. Which sounds like you're supposed to read it this way. So one pasuk says my name is supposed to be hidden. One pasuk says you're supposed to advertise, publicize my name. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu lo kishani nichtav ani nikra nichtav ani b'yudhei v'nikra ani b'alvda. The way I'm written is not the way I'm supposed to be read. I'm written Yud-Hei, but I'm read Aleph Dal, and that's the way it's supposed to be kept. But in the future, the Olam Haba, then apparently it's going to be read the way it's actually written. Hadron Lach Elu Over. Okay, let's begin the new paragraph. This next parak, by the way, doesn't seem to fit so well into the Pesachim in general. The first two parakim were all about chametz and matzah. This, the fifth parak and on is about kudshim until you get to the last parak. This parak has little to do with the Pesach itself, but it's here anyway. The beginning does, the first Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Makum shenagu la'asos melacha b'avri Pesachim ad chatzos osin makum shenagu shelo la'asos ein osin. So the certain places where the custom was to do malacha on Erev Pesach, they would do work up until Chatzos. After Chatzos, it would be usher to everyone. The question here is before, prior to Chatzos, prior to noon. So some places have the minhag that they're able to do work, and if you lived in such a place, you could do work. If you lived in a place where the minhag was not to do work before Chatzos, then you can't do work before Chatzos. So what's the basis for this iser malacha? Says Rashi, Shelo lasos, kidei shelo yehet tarud b'malacha, you're going to be so involved in your work, v'yishchach b'yurchem, so you're going to forget to burn your chametz, v'shchitas ha-pesach, you're not going to shech the pesach, v'tikun matzah, and you're not going to make the matzah, l'tzarach ha-layla, v'mitzvah l'tzarach mibod yom, kidei lahaseh maher. You're supposed to prepare early in the day. Again, the ideal mitzvah is of matzah is baking Erev Pesach. That's the best type of matzah, Erev Pesach. We don't really do that anymore. It's very almost impossible to get one of those Erev Pesach matzahs. You have to be really connected. So Erev Pesach is the ideal time, though, to make matzah. So you're so busy, so involved, you're supposed to do it a little bit early in the day. This way it's all ready. When you sit down in the Leil Seder, everything's ready to go. So the reason for this, according to Rashi, is because all the tircha, so much running around to do. Tosfos has a very different twist. Tosfos says, Malkum Shenagu, Omri, B'shem Rivav, D'mifarish B'yushalmi. It's a fascinating Yushalmi that says, Ma'ishna Avri Pesachim, Mishal Yom Tov. Why only Erev Pesach? The Gemara is also going to ask this question in a second from the Bavli, but there's a different twist in the Yushalmi. Mishum Dizmana Pesach Mechatzos Ve'elach. The time to bring the Karban Pesach is from after Chatzos. That's the Zman. V'af Yochid Kamar Hasam, B'shayim Osashana, B'yom Shem. So also the rest of the year, B'yom Shem Mevi Karban, Osir B'mlacha. The day a person brings a Karban, he's not allowed to do Melacha. It becomes a Yom Tov for himself. That day he brings a Karban. It becomes a Yom Tov. There are a number of other rides about this also. The Gemara in Tainus talks about the day a certain family were brought the Atzei Maracha, they would bring the, they would dedicate the wood to the Beis HaMikdash, that was a Yom Tov for them. The Gemara talks about there, let's say Tishra, their day to bring it was the 10th of Av, I think. So let's say Tishra fell on the 9th of Av, on Shabbos, and it was pushed off to Sunday on the 10th of Av, the discussion whether they fast or not, because for them it was a Yom Simcha, the day they were Makriv, or they really were Misnadev, they brought wood to the Karban, to the Beis HaMikdash, so any day it was a Karbanos, they have Karbanos for you, it was a Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks, in the Yushalmi, says, Tosos, Parch, in Cain, if that's the case, the day you bring a Karban is a Yom Tov, Yehei kol hayom aser. Every single day should be aser. Kmo yochid shemevi karbon. Why? Because every single day you bring the karbon tum. They should never be allowed to do any work the entire year. U'mefarish hasam mishum deroy lemakir v'shachris. Haba pesach eino yachol akiv elachar chatzos. So that was only regarding other karbanos where you could bring other karbanos the day in the morning. The karbon pesach can only be brought out in the afternoon, so the iser pesach would only be in the afternoon. But it comes to carbon tamid, which is for the entire klai yisrael, v'kar b'chol yom, every single day, yehei b'chol yom aser b'malacha, every day should be aser b'malacha because of carbon tamid. And the Gemara answers in the Yushalmi, mishani shiny tamid sha torah hotziya min haklal. You're right, fundamentally you're right, there should be an iser every single day, but we have a mefurshe pasuk which tells us dechziv asafta degancha, that you're supposed to collect, gather the fruits from the grain from the field. So clearly one's allowed to do malacha, despite the fact that it's a yom tov, the day you bring a karbon. This pasuk tells us every single day cannot be asur b'malacha, only the day you bring a personal karbon. Vim ke'evka yisrael yoshvim v'betelim miyasov len dagon. Either way, mashma dehasam de midiraisa asura. Midiraisa it's asur to do malacha the day you bring a karbon. V'nir daf bismu, so that's the shot Yushalmi.
So here is talking about the tamid shebin arbaim, probably, right? Because otherwise the tamid in the morning will be the same case as the yachid.
For the yachid it's only the day. Any day a yachid would bring a karban, if he were to bring it, it would be aser. If he didn't bring it, not. But this karban tamid says since tamid represents all of Klal Yisrael, so every single day we are each individually bring a karban, so we should have an iser malacha. Tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein harbayim, both of them would be relevant.
Right. Well, so Shachar, you would be allowed to the melacha after the tamid, so it wouldn't be a problem.
No, I think the day, that day that you have a karbon, the entire day would be asur melacha.
But he's asking, when he's answering here, he says kimo yachid shemevi karbon mefarish hatam mishum derau liakriv mishachar is aval pesach ein yachal liakriv lechar chatzos. So it seems that in yachid it is an issue that it's in the morning and pesach is in the afternoon.
So maybe that's made the carbon tamid. The Gemara asks the question.
Is it the tamid shabin arba?
I hear that. Okay. Yeah, I hear that. Okay. So it comes out from Tosfos. Tosfos says the reason for the Issur Melacha on Erev Pesach is not because of the tirda and all the things you're involved in, like Rashi says, rather because the day you bring a carbon, and in this case, carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach, there's an Issur to Melacha that's a din deraisa according to Tosfos. Tosfos concludes saying, "Venir da'af bizman hazed deleka hakrava kevin din shenesar oz olam liol oz asur di olam." So Tosa says, one might think, well, Bizman Hazeh, since there's no carbonos anymore, so there's no carbon, so maybe it should be Mevatel, and there should be no Isser Melacha Bizman Hazeh. He says, despite that fact, once there was an Isser was generated from the carbon Talmud, for the carbon Pesach, rather, that Isser was maintained forever. Others show may argue and say, no, Bizman Hazeh, if it's based on the carbon Pesach, there should be no Isser Melacha anymore Bizman Hazeh. So a couple of nafkamim, there are a lot of nafkaminas actually. This sugi happens to be very chaviv to me. I think this was the first time I gave a public shiur on anything. This was the topic. It was Pesach. We were at someone's house. It was like a block minute in my parents' in Teaneck near my parents. So I think I gave a shiur there one night. This was the topic. I think it was the first time I gave a public shiur. So anyways, there are a number of nafkamina that come out from this. One of them is, let's say Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So then, is there an Issur Melacha on Erev Shabbos now? Which is 2 days. It's Yud Gimel. So according to the Tosfos,
Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos.
Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. So Yud Gimel is really Friday. So according to Tosfos, you still bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos.
Right,
so there's no Issur Melacha. But according to Rashi, you're doing all the baking, as we spoke about yesterday. All the baking, all the burning, everything's taking place Erev Shabbos, Yud Gimel. So Yud Gimel, there would be an Issur Melacha according to Rashi, but no Issur Melacha according to Tosfos.
But we don't hold like Rashi. We hold because of the Karban Pesach.
Yeah, the Be'er Halacha writes, one need not be Machmir on Yud Gimel like this Rashi. Another nafkamina is, Zman Hazeh I spoke about. Okay, fine. So it says, let's continue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eina os, mimakum she'osun lamakum she'oinosun. Let's say I live in a place where my custom in my town was to do melacha before chatzos, and I go to a city on Yudalid where the custom was not to do melacha. Oh, well, eternally, let's say, mimakum she'oinosun. I live in a place where they did not do melacha before chatzos, and I travel lamakum she'osun. I went to a place where they can do work. So what's the din? Nosun alav chomri makum shiyatsu misham v'chomri makum shalach l'sham. You have to take on the chumras. Where you came from, where you went. So either way, it's going to be a chumra. You cannot do work. If either you come from a place that doesn't do work, or you go to a place that does not do work. Val yishane adam mipnei machlokas. A person should not do changes at all, so he shouldn't create any machlokas. So it shouldn't be an issue of lo sisko to do. Says the Gemara, Kiyotibo, Mishnah rather, Kiyotibo, similar to this, Hamolich Peres Shvius, someone who brings Peres Shvius, Mimakum Shekalu, Lamakum Shelokalu. So the din was, Rashi explains this, Hamolich Peres Shvius, Mimakum Shekalu, Lechayim Minasadeh, that the fruits were finished for the wild animals in the field, Vechayavim Bnei Hamakum Levarim Minabayah. So the halacha was as follows, that you're allowed to eat fruits of Shvius. Anybody's allowed to eat fruits of Shvius. But, let's say, I collected all these apples, and I have them in my house. And then there are no more apples left in the wild. So the halacha, based on the psukim, are that if there's no more apples for the wild animals in the sadeh, I have to burn the remaining apples in my house for that particular minute. So let's say I came from a place back to the Mishnah. Hamolich perish shvius, mimakum shekalu. I was in a place where they finished the apples. And so I take the apples away. I go to lamakum shelokal. I go to a place where they haven't finished the apples yet. So I can start giving them apples. Oh, mimakum shelo kalu. Or I came from a place where they didn't finish the apples yet. Everyone still has plenty of apples left in the sadeh. And I went in lamakum shekalu. I went to a place where they stopped eating apples. There are no more apples left. They burned all the apples. Chai levayer, same thing here. You have to take on the chumra. You have to burn the remaining apples because either you came from a place that finished the apples or you went to a place that finished these apples. You must burn them. Behuda responds in a very cryptic line. Or Behuda Omer, tsev ahava leich af ata. Unclear what this means. Rashi just tells us the Gemara is going to explain, so we'll leave this aside. Something along the lines, I think, of that since you can give the apples and give them out to everybody to use in the place that you're going to, so it's no longer considered as if they completed it. But unclear what that means. We'll have to wait to get to that on a different daf. Says the Gemara, "My yirya arvi psachim. Why dafka er pesach? Is there an iser to do melacha? I feel arvi shabbosos varvi yom tovim nami. There's also an iser to do melacha in every Shabbos and every erev yomtiv." the Tanya, the Brisa tells us, comes up in a couple of places. Ha'osim malacha ba'ari shabbosos v'yom tovim min ha'mincha l'mala. Somebody who does malacha after that time of mincha, eina ro'a simin bracha. Li'olim. Any work he does, any money he makes, will not have a simin bracha. So we see there's an isim malacha in every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. So answers the Gemara, two answers. One, it says, Hasam over there, in the case of every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, min ha'mincha l'mala hu da'asar, only from after mincha time it's asar. Samach l'mincha, right before mincha lo, there's no iser right before. Meaning chatzos, talking about mincha gedola. So mincha gedola, that point on, let's say half an hour or so after chatzos, 12:30 if you will. So 12:30, there's an isim lacha on every day. But in Pesach, 12 o'clock is aser, so therefore that's why it's different. Special extra 30 minutes, aser in Erev Pesach.
Rosh is mincha ketana.
Oh yes, I remember wrong. Okay, mincha ketana. It does. Okay, so Mincha Rashi says, Teisha Shalos Mechza, a reference to Mincha Katana. So on every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, so Mincha Katana, from 9.5 hours on, that's the Isser. On Erev Pesach, it's from Chatzos, several hours earlier, there's a much longer period of Isser Mlacha on Erev Pesach. And that's the first answer.
When is Mincha Katana now?
Now, I guess it would be probably, when would it be?
Mincha Katana, 5:05.
5:05, okay. So for 5:05 on would be Usher, but on Erev Pesach it would be 12 o'clock around. Well, nowadays it's probably more like 1 o'clock. Says the Gemara, Inami, Hasam, Simin Bracha, Hudulachazi, Aval Shmusi lo Meshamtinale, Hacha Shmusi Nami Meshamtinale. So over there, regarding Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you're right, he may not see Simin Bracha, but we don't excommunicate him. We don't send him out in Nidoy for violating the Issim Bracha. But on Erev Pesach, if a person were to do work in Erev Pesach, Shmusi Nami Meshamtinale, we do send them out, we do excommunicate them. That's how severe the Isser is on Erev Pesach. Okay, now there's a machlok, because you're showing them whether or not the Isser Melacha and Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, is there their real Isser, or it's simply Eino Roi Yisumim Bracha. The Gemara never actually says Eino, if there's an Isser, just says, anybody who does it, ain't a roa simin bracha. So some say, there's no answer, just you don't, it's pointless to do it. You're wasting your time, because anything you get from this will do nothing for you. It's wasting time. Yet others say, no, there's an isser malacha, a low-level isser. It's not going to be to the point where you're going to get mashamtinin from it, but there is an isser kal from this malacha in Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Gufa, ha'osa malacha b'arvi Shabbos b'arvi Yom Tovim min ha'mincha l'mala u'motzei Shabbos, so Uv Motzi Yom Tov, Uv Miotzi Yom HaKippurim, Uv B'chol Malkam Sheisham Nidnu Ravera, any of these types of places, Le'asui, which comes to include Tainus Tzibur, Ein Roa Simin Bracha Li'olam. All those examples listed in this Brisa, many more than just Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, even the conclusion of many of the Yom Tovim, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, all those things, the person does not see any Simin Bracha from that Malacha.
Why Motzi Shabbos Yom Tov?
So look at, see Tosos on top?
Yeah.
Tosos writes, Ha'osa melacha b'motzei Shabbos, Omer Reed, De'isa b'Yushalmi, Hachi, has the following, the Yushalmi. Honi nashi denagi de'lo lemev avidasa b'afuke Shabbosa. The women who had the minhag not to do work, motzei Shabbos, la minhaga, ad titfana sidra minhaga. What does that mean? Perish she'yashim hatfila minhag kasher u'bahar ari nami hachi. It's until they've davened already. So the concern, I guess, is that they would jump the gun. If they were allowed to do Melacha Motzei Shabbos, they might do Melacha earlier on Shabbos itself, a Chilul Shabbos issue, but therefore say don't do any Melacha, any serious Melacha on Erev Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos rather. Same holds true for Motzei Yom Kippur as well. So until they daven, nothing should be done. So it's not. It sounds like from Tosos, not that it's usher to do the entire Motzei Shabbos, but right, only up until the point when they daven. First daven, and then you could do Melacha. Says the Gemara Taner Rabbanan, Yesh Zarez V'Nifsad, the people who are very Zarez and get rewarded for this. Yesh Zarez V'Nifsad, others are very Zarez and lose out because of this. Yesh Shafil V'Nifsad, other people are very lazy, but they still get rewarded for this. Yesh Shafil V'Nifsad, others are lazy and lose out. Zarez V'Nifsad, what's the case of a person who's very Zarez and will get rewarded for this? The Avid Kula Shabasa, the Avid B'Mala Shabasa. A person who works the entire week, but he doesn't work Erev Shabbos, he's a person who's going to get rewarded. The Zarez V'Nifsad, what the person's going to lose out for being so Zarez. The Avid Kula Shabbosa, the Avid B'Mala Shabbosa. He works every day of the week, and he works on Friday. He's going to lose out, because he's wasting his time on Friday, because any work you do Friday is going to be Lav Simin Bracha. What's a shuffle of a niskar? Someone who's lazy will get rewarded. La'avid kula shabbos, la'avid b'mal shabbos. He never works. He doesn't work the week. He doesn't work Erev Shabbos. So had he worked on Shabbos, he would have lost it, lost out. The fact that he's not working Erev Shabbos, he's in fact, I guess, gaining, if you will. Okay, Rashi points out, even though he has, he doesn't have kavana mitzvah shelo lishma, the fact that he's just being very lazy, still nonetheless, a person could get schar for mitzvah filo shelo lishma. Then what's the case of shuffle v'nifsat? Somebody who's lazy and is going to lose out. The lo avid kula shabbos v'avid b'mal shabbos. He doesn't work except for on Fridays. The person only works Fridays. He's really bad. He's in a really bad situation. He's really going to lose out. So those are the four different cases. So Amar Rava. Rava said, "Hani nashi demechuza." These women of this place, af agav de lo avdin avidasa b'mal shabbos mishum mifan kusa. Even though these women did not work erev Shabbos because of mifan kusa, which how do they define this? They just were. The article from Fankusa, anything on that? Chav of the Shabbos. That's what it says?
On account of their delicacy.
Uh-huh. So they just wanted to be very like, that's the word used. They,
right.
I'm not sure how to better.
Right. Exactly. Mefuneket is somebody who's spoiled.
Right.
Yeah.
So because of that, they didn't have the right intentions. They weren't doing the Chav of Shabbos, who the Ha-Koyom and Nami look up. And every single day of the week, they wouldn't work. They'd stay home and do nothing. And still, nonetheless, shuffle v'nischar karinale. We still call them someone who's lazy, yet they still get rewarded for this. Rava ramiksiv ki gadol ad shemaim chazdecha. Speak that your greatness is your chesed is up until the shemaim. Uksiv ki gadol me'al shemaim. No chazdecha. It's above shemaim. So is it up until or is it above? So haketzad kan be'osin l'shma kan be'osin l'shel l'shma. It depends. If you're doing lishma, so then like the reward is going to be up until shemaim. If you're doing it lishma, it's going to be above the world. Uchadav Yehuda, the Amr of Yehuda, Amar Rav, the Olam Yasek, all the Metorah v'Mitzos, af api shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. A person should always be involved in Torah and in mitzvos, even though he has no not the proper kavanos. He's still from shemitoch shelo lishma. It's going to turn out to be balishma. So the Rambam actually, when he records this halacha, he skips, he leaves out the word of a mitzvah. So he says, Li'olam yasek adam b'torah, afapi shelo lishma, shimitoch shelo lishma. Why does he leave out the word mitzvah? So the Achronim deal with the following. They say, mitzvah was obvious. Mitzvahs were very obvious. It didn't need to be said. It was pretty obvious that mitzvah you get schar, even shelo lishma. It doesn't need that. But it comes to Torah, they say that they're having to think that a person who learns Torah Shlo al manas l'kayim. He just stam learned the Torah, so the pasuk calls him a rasha. So if a person learns shlo l'shma, perhaps he shouldn't get any schar for this. So that's why the Torah that the Gemara had to tell me that Torah, even shlo l'shma, is going to be leading to l'shma. There is a certain value of learning Torah shlo l'shma.
Maybe he's coming to say that mitzvah sein aschechas kavana.
Ah, so that could be also. So the Eglei Tal, his famous Hakdama, says the other way around. Even though we normally passing mitzvahs. Mitzvahs lo shichas in shichas kavana.
Right.
The Rambam he wants to say you require kavana, and therefore the Rambam leaves that because shelo lishma is not a mitzvah. If you do mitzvah shelo lishma, you're not yotzei because you require kavana. So once you say that mitzvahs shichas kavana according to the Rambam, so why then Torah? Why in Torah do you get? Why is there a value to shelo lishma? You should say the same thing. Mitzvahs shichas kavana, Torah shichas kavana. So this is the famous Eglei Tal. He writes in the Hakdama that no, Torah is not about the lishma or not lishma. Torah is about hana. When a person learns, he's going to get hana. It's all about the hana you receive. Even though mitzvah lav lehenos nitnu, that's his hochidah. She says Torah is different. Torah is about hana. So even though there's not the proper kavana, Torah you get hana, and that's what the Rambam only mentions Torah. He doesn't mention mitzvahs.
But does Rambam hold that mitzvahs tzrichos kavana? Is that his psak?
I don't know. I know it's a big machlokas. Yes. We generally lechachila one should have
we
it. The
that,
you don't need it.
Except a few of them.
Right. But I'm not sure the Rambam sheet on this. I'm going to assume that it probably is based on the Eglei Tal. But I can't say with real certainty. Okay, so we're up to the last narrow line of the Gemara now. Tanur Rabbanan. Hametzapel l'schar ishto, reichaim ein erosim in bracha liolam. So somebody who expects that his the schar from his wife, he wants his wife to work for him, and reichaim and grinding at the mill, such a person will not see any simin bracha from this type of melacha. It could be that. Maybe. Doesn't talk about what the husband's doing. It could be even the husband who's working and making a lot of money. But for the melacha that his wife is doing, at least, that melacha, this type of melacha, will not be as roa simin bracha. So, schar isho mitukulta rechaya agrasa. So what does this mean? So Rashi says, "Mitakulta no telas moznaim biyada umhaleches b'shuk laschirin lechalat srichin the schar muat whom his baza isha al schar muat." She takes the scales and brings it. And she's weighing things. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing, and she takes it to the marketplace. And you don't get much. It's really very little schar you get for this. And it's a big bizayon to her, but yet her wife's still going out to the marketplace, so this is not really worth it. Agrasa Rashi says, Schari chayim shemaschirin, she rent out the mill, terech gadol v'schar muat. It's a big tircha for your wife to do, and you really get very little payment for this. So that's the reason why those particular ones mentioned is going to be no siman bracha, just very practically speaking. Aval Gemara says, Avda umizavna, if she goes out and sells something, ishtabucha mishtabich ba kra dichsiv sadan asav atimkur. No, she's allowed to make money. She could do something, but it has to be something that's worthwhile for her, something that doesn't waste her time. It's not very difficult, and you have a good reward from it. So it's not, in general, a woman can't work. It just depends on what it is. And it's really more practical advice, it seems, than other.
Yeah, there's a lot of different interpretations of selling at the bottom. It's basically saying that if she's going to do something, she might as well make money doing it. Don't waste your time selling yarn.
Right, exactly.
In a dollar store. Right?
The same would hold true, I guess, for a man as well, then.
Yeah.
Unless they say for a man.
He says that you dafka have to be someone. Like, that's the whole Indian of, like, Pergava says, talks about it too. It's like, you want to teach your children skill,
mm-hmm.
not just them to go work.
Right. Sure. The Miri says that even people who are learning all day, they should always set aside a certain amount of time to go through their finances and to do a little something about the money, not just to sit and learn and ignore everything else. So Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan hamistakir bekanim v'mikan kanim, somebody who makes money selling kanim, which is Rashi's these small little sticks. I don't know exactly what you do with them. I guess you build Rashi's, you build fences with them. And kankanim, types of jugs. Since it becomes very public, selling these things is very in a public domain. Since everybody sees it, it's going to have shul to be'inai, which is a reference to ein hara. People are going to look down on you and give you an ein hara, and it's not going to be a very profitable business. Tan Rabbanan, tigre simta, people who sell. Rashi says they sit in the alleyway. Yoshrin Mochrin Beshuk, the Ayin Sholas Behan. People sitting in the shuk, selling and buying. People see them. Anytime your business is being seen by other people, it's there's a concern of Ayin Hara. Umigadli Behem Adaka, people who raise smaller animals. Vikotze Ilanos Tovos, people cutting down good trees. Venosanen Bechelik Yafa, or people who always try to get the best part of something. They're dividing something up, they always want the best slice of pizza, or whatever it might be. These types of people, Einero Simbracha, Liolam, Maitaima Ditao Beinshi. People always look at them and with an Ayin Hara. All these things which are in the public domain, where people can see you, is always a concern of Ayin Hara. Tanarabanam. Dal Prutos, Ein Behem Simbracha Liolam. There are four Prutos that never see any Simbracha. What are they? Schar Kosvin, the people who write Stam, and Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. Vishar Mitugamanim, people who take translators. Vishar Yisomim, people who take money for watching over the dividing up the orphans' money. Umos HaBosmim Medina, so yeah, money that comes overseas. All those things are not very profitable. Why not? People, when the Meturgamon was used on Shabbos, the guy would give a drasha, and the Meturgamon, the Rav would give a drasha, and the Meturgamon would explain in the laws in the common language, and he would also amplify the voice of the speaker. So people think, oh, he's getting Schar Shabbos. He can't get paid for doing something on Shabbos. So for that reason, he's not going to receive Simin Bracha, because the Ayin Ra, people are going to see what's going on and think it's Schar Shabbos. Because if you make a slight mistake on the money of the Yisomim, do not give, they don't forgive. So you're going to be in a lot of trouble for Gzela. And Malos HaBalos Medinas Hayam, over water, money, business overseas, Mishum Delav Kol Yoma Dimishrach HaShenisa. Not every day there's going to be a nace. So Rashi explained, Medinas Hayam Mishalech Svinosav Tamir B'Malkum Sakana. You continually to send boats to very dangerous waters, so you're not going to get a bro. You're not going to have a nace every single time. It's very dangerous. Very practically speaking, you're not going to see Simin Bracha. El Eschar Kosin My Taima. But people take money so from. Why are they not getting? Why do they not see Simin Bracha? So Amar Bishub and Levi Chof Dal Tanios. There were 24 fasts. Yoshva Anshe Knesses Gedola. They sat 24 fasts. Al Kolsve Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos. For these people who are writing them. Why? Shelo Yis Ashru, they shouldn't become rich. Shil Mali Mis Ashun Ein Kosum. Because if the Sofrim were to get rich, they would say, I don't need to do this anymore, I'm going to stop doing this. So he made them these trades, these Sofrim, they shouldn't make too much money, so they have to continually to write and to make money, therefore to produce the Stam.
They also speak well. I thought most of these Sofrim issues.
They do, that's the point. Point is, we don't want them to be rich, because if they become rich, then they're going to stop writing them, and then no one else to write them. So the Chazal made it difficult for them to make a parnasa, so they have to continually to work and produce Sefer Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzahs for everybody.
Hard life.
Says the Gemara Tanur Banon, Kosfei Svarim, people who write Svarim, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, all these things, Hain, they themselves, they were Sofrim, V'Tigrei, and the people who sell them, V'Tigrei, and the people who sell the second level, they get sold a few times. You ever go to a Sofer, so usually the Sofer is not the one who's writing all the Mezuzahs you're picking out of. Or even the Sefer Torah. They have other people who they outsource to. So right. There's different levels how it's done. Exactly. Mechol Oskim B'Melecha Shemaim, anybody who's involved in Melecha Shemaim, all these people, which is referenced to Lasuy and Mai, what's the Melecha Shemaim referring to? Mochei Techeles, people who are selling Techeles, all those individuals involved in selling these things, Ein and Roan Simon Bracha Liolam, they don't get any bracha from selling these things. V'im Oskim L'Shema Roan. But however, if they have real Kavanah L'Shema, L'Shem Shemaim, L'Shem Mitzvah, if those are their intentions, then they will be successful. B'nei Baisham, this is a particular people, Nog de lo havi ozlan mitzur litzidun b'mali shabasa. They had a minog not to travel from one place to another place, particularly tzur litzidun on Erev Shabbos. So these were the people of B'nei Baisham. Also B'naiu, the children of B'nei Baisham, Kamri de Rabbi Yochanan. They came to Rabbi Yochanan. And Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Avahasan, our father, Efshaluhu, he was able to manage not traveling from one place to the next. He did not need to go to the shuk. Because our parents were very, very rich. They did not need to schlep to the shuk on Erev Shabbos to make any money. On and Lefshalon, us, we don't have so much money. We need to go to the shuk even on Erev Shabbos. We have to travel from this place to the next place to make some money. Amalu, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Kfar kiblu avoseichem aleim. Your father already accepted this minhag. Shenamar shema b'ni musavich v'al titosh toras mecha. This is the exception. This is the minhag your father already took upon yourself. You cannot change from this at all. So this is a famous minhag avosin b'yodenu. The Gemara uses this term all the time. But this is interesting, because when the Gemara used minhag avosin b'yodenu, the Gemara in Beta is a reference to a widely accepted minhag of all Klai Yisrael. For example, Shei Yomtiv Shagolios. The two-day Yomtiv nowadays seems to make no sense to us. We know exactly which day is the right day of Yomtiv. Why do we keep it minhag avosin b'yodenu? Because that's the way the Tzibur took it upon themselves. This Gemara is unique, it's because it's a family minhag. A family minhag is this way. So I remember someone in Yeshiva was a Ben Acher Ben, direct descendant of the Chai Adam. So Rabina said to him, once he found it out, Rabina said, you have to, I'm not sure, fast, or there was a famous day that Chai Adam, his whole family got killed in a fire, except for Chai Adam. So that day was a sad day, of course, for the entire family. So I think he said that day, you have to keep as a fast day, or something special, since you're Ben Achaben. That was the minhag of all your fathers, to do that. The same thing with Soloveitchik, once he had this famous drasha about standing and sitting in Kiddush, he gave a whole drasha that you're supposed to stand for the beginning of Kiddush on Friday night because that's Vayechul, that's Edus. Right, and then you sit down because when you're having Kiddush, you're supposed to sit down because you're having a Suda, then you say Kiddush, half and half. And then the very next Shabbos or so, the different versions of the story, but the next Shabbos, he had this in Shabbos, I guess, in YU, he was in there and he said Kiddush, he was standing up the entire time. And they said, Rabbi, I don't understand. Last week you gave a whole shir how you're supposed to stand and then sit halfway through. You stood for the whole thing. He says, you're right. But minhag avosin b'yodenu, my father's minhag was to do that. So sometimes when it may not make the entire sense halachically, if you have a certain minhag, you have to keep that certain minhag. It's based on this Gemara here. Okay, so we'll stop here. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.